Gopi Janna Ba La Ma Giri Ma Da Da Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shripad Paramahamsa Parivari Kucharya Astra Tarzata Shishi Madhavai Chandra Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Jana Chilita Pavishtam Shripad Paramahamsa Parivari Kucharya Astra Tarzata Shishi Madhavai Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopakupinath Shamakundradha Kundgiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishayeshu. Oh, we'll do the whole line. Repeat, call repeat. Vishayeshu gunadhyasat. Pungsasangastato bhavet. Sangatatra bhavet kama. Kama deva kalir nrinam. Vishayeshu gunadhyasat pungsak sangastato bhavet sangatatra bhavet kama kama deva kalyanrinam vishayeshu gunadhyasat Pumsak Sangas Tato Bhavet Sangatatra Bhavet Kama Kama Deva Kalir Nrinam Vishayeshu Gunadhyasat Pumsak Sangas Tato Bhavet Sangastatra bhavet kama kama deva kalyaninam vishayeshu gunadhyasat pumsat sangastato bhavet sangatatra bhavet kama Kama deva kalir nrinam Sangatatra bhavet kama Kama deva kalir nrinam Vishayeshu, immaterial objects of sense gratification. Guna adhyasat, because of presuming them to be good. Pungsa, of a person. Sangha, attachment. Tata, from that presumption. Bhavet, comes into being. Sangat, from that material association. Tatra, thus. Bhavet, arises. Kama, lust. Kamat, from lust. Eva, also. Kali, quarrel. Nrinam, among men.
So we have two verses. This one we'll go through, and then we'll do the next one together. read. So, in the word for word, it's kind of interesting. If you just look at it for one more moment, it says, in material objects of sense gratification, because of presuming them to be good, that's kind of relevant to keep that in mind. So we're going to, because it's not always in material objects of sense gratification, but in presuming them to be good, it starts a kind of a chain reaction here. So the translation is, one who accepts material sense objects as desirable certainly becomes attached to them. From such attachment, lust arises, and from this lust creates quarrel among men. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The actual goal of life should not be material sense gratification, for it is the basis of conflict in human society. Actually, a lot of other reasons too. Among the Vedic literature, sometimes, although the Vedic literature sometimes sanctions sense gratification, the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is renunciation. Since Vedic culture cannot possibly recommend anything that disturbs human life, a lusty person is easily angered and becomes inimical to anyone, frustrating his lusty desires. So we're actually seeing a kind of a progression here. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janad Jnana Salakaya Chaksum Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvasa Patambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano. I'm just going to add a couple things as we read through this, is that this is philosophy. We're having today's verses stating a philosophical presentation of cause and effect. So there's different types of philosophical presentations. Some of them use logic, like in the 13.5 Bhagavad Gita, it says that the Vedanta Sutra is presented with all reason to cause and effect. So in other religious traditions or faiths, they sometimes use the word laws of God. So these laws, these are also the same principle of cause and effect. And we also have the word dharma. It has a particular nature that can't be changed, and that's dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam, that actually only God can state these things. So we have jamadi asya yataha, that this information is descending knowledge, perfect knowledge, coming from the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, and in the cyclic succession. And it's different than the knowledge that comes from the conditioned souls, which have four defects. They made a mistake, they're an illusion, because they're accepting their senses as the authority. And when they transmit such faulty information, they're also cheating. So this information, this is, we're stating here, is the laws of cause and effect. And of course, the Vedanta Sutra, Tattva Sandarbha, also explains that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the standard for tattva, for understanding what is the truth. So this absolute truth, absolute means it doesn't change in time, past, present, and future. This will always be the same. Just like Dehi no smin yata dehe. It's non-sectarian. We change bodies. We're going from one body to another. Now, this particular point actually could be taken as a very fundamental understanding of how this material energy is working. We understand from the Sri Upanishad that Krishna is the self-sufficient philosopher. In other words, his philosophy, he's the one that can say what philosophy is. He's the self-sufficient. No one stands to correct Krishna on his philosophy, at least tattva-wise. And then there may be some discussion in Rasa about that, but in the tattva, Krishna is that. And then he says, I'm fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. So we get to learn how Krishna is actually, because we're part and parcel, he's fulfilling our desires. However, we're responsible, key word underlined, for our desires. So here, sometimes we're thinking those desires are our desires. So this is being explained that they follow a particular laws of nature. And of course, it starts off here. One who accepts material sense objects as desirable. Okay, so we're kind of coming in, yeah, in the middle. We know from Bhagavad Gita 7:27 that the living entity, he's eternal, but he's born into the material condition, deluded, overcome by desire and hate. So he's already in a compromised condition. So out of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, the disciplic succession, we're learning what the situation is, how we're responsible. And this particular point is saying, once you accept material sense objects as desirable, there's going to be a chain reaction of the laws of nature. So sometimes we'll say, nip it in the bud. There's a lot of information is given to this particular point, so we don't get caught with this. We have to know there's a seed of material existence in this accepting material sense objects as desirable or something good. That point each one of us has to deal with. It's not something that, oh, okay, this is a, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. This is where knowledge gives us the vision to understand. And this is available only in the human form of life. So this is what starts the human species. Even though we have an opposable thumb, or we're upright, we have two legs instead of, Prabhupada sometimes would say, the animals have four legs, but we run on four wheels. And we run after the same things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the animal propensities. And this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This knowledge and renunciation is actually the same item. You don't have renunciation without this knowledge, and you don't have knowledge without renunciation. So it means it's being applied. Okay, that this, when you have this knowledge, it manifests. Just like, for instance, if someone says, I know that fire's hot, you wouldn't expect to see them putting their hand in the fire. It would just automatically, those two things kind of go together. All right, so I'm going to read some more. So we're talking about this lust, which in Bhagavad Gita, again, 337, it mentions that lust, it can turn into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So this particular part of the philosophy, understanding how this material energy, once you get started with it, there's no changing it. It's going to run its course. It's not that you accept one part and then I'll take half the hen, but I won't take the other half. Once you get started with accepting material objects as desirable. Because as soon as you accept that, the next thing is, I want some of them. I want to get some for myself. I, mine, manifest. I am the, 924. What's, anybody remember 924? You do? I got it here in a written form for Shruti Dharana. Ah, there we go. Aham hi sarva jnananam. Thank you. And for the rest of us, it means, Krishna speaking, I am the only enjoyer. All right. There's a discrepancy. And master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. So right there, it's already taking place. Because if you're accepting sense objects as desirable, you forgot that Krishna says he's the only enjoyer. And the rest of it is, what do you call it, history? This is the rest of it just follows one after another. So, of course, Krishna is so kind to us. And I almost remember, but the old translation keeps coming to mind. It says, best not disturb the minds of those who are attached to fruitive activities and sense gratification. Better just engage them in devotional service. So we're kind of like, that we're being engaged, but at the same time, because we're hearing every day, and everybody's trying the best they can to try to understand this, but the mind is so stubborn, and the covering potency is so efficient that and so subtle, Krishna is the self-sufficient. He's fulfilling everyone's desires. So Prabhupada would give us examples like, who would light a fire while pouring water on it? That certainly makes a lot of sense. But now, what does that mean for us? Why do they give us a nice example that's easy to understand? Is because this desire for sense enjoyment is so strong and it's so habituated for such a long time. And it basically, we use other synonyms for it. We call it the bodily conception of life. The bodily conception of life just means I'm identifying with the pleasure of these senses or the displeasure. I identify with this body and I see others as their bodies. So the sacrifice that's recommended is to come out of the bodily conception of life by approaching a tattva darshan, darshi, one who can see the truth. He sees the living entity separate from the body, and he sees the body, it's being like a machine. And there's the super soul, and there's the senses. He sees everything going on according to Krishna's plan, and the all-pervasive form of the super soul. So he also has a relationship with Rishikesh, the master of the senses. So that's another aspect that comes if you're not this body. Who's controlling the body if it's not in my control? So then ultimately it develops into its govinda, it's the pleasure of the giver of the senses, but on a different level. So we, ones who are aspiring in the mode of goodness, they have the Gayatri Mantra, and they have words like Kamadevaya, which generally means desire, and they have Pushpamanaya, and they have these different words where we can start to recognize how when we use this body in Krishna's service, there's a reciprocation, not from the external covering potency, but from Krishna. I'm going to go on because time runs very quickly. All right. So we found out that the living entity, he's when he accepts sense gratification as something desirable, he becomes attached to it. He wants to own it. He wants to enjoy it. So from this attachment, his lust increases. He really wants to enjoy it. But you know what happens when you try to enjoy something that's just not enjoyable. Of course, we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us so much information. He says, a wise man, he doesn't take part in sense gratification because he doesn't designate it anymore as a certain, something desirable. He calls it the sources of misery. Now, there's certainly an indication of our knowledge of being present or not. Do we see sense objects as desirable or as sources of misery? Not in the mode of passion, but in the mode of goodness. Mode of passion is temporary, like sour grapes is kind of mode of passion. It's not the real understanding, it's just circumstantial. Okay. A lusty person is easily angered and becomes inimical to anyone who frustrates his lusty desires. Well, we also have the example of the pond with the different stones being thrown in it make different centers, or what do they call it, the ground zero, where all the ripples go out from the one spot. So when there's two, there's going to be conflict, and the conflict is what we're talking about here now. But when everybody has the same desire, then everything works cooperatively. Okay. Since his sex desire can never be satisfied, so there's a jump there, it just connects desire to lust, to sex, can never be satisfied. A lusty person ultimately becomes frustrated with his own sex partner, and thus a love-hate relationship develops. A lusty person considers himself to be the enjoyer of God's creation and is therefore full of pride and false prestige. The lusty, proud person will not be attracted to the process of humble submission at the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Attraction to illicit sex is thus the direct enemy of Krishna consciousness. So there's different verses also on this too. I did write them down, but I already forgot them. That lust destroys the urge for self-realization. So that's there's an urge for self-realization that comes about naturally in the human form of life. But it gets destroyed. So there's another problem with trying to build a fire while pouring water on it, is material desires. You think one's happy, but you're actually, in one sense, in bed with the enemy, that you're making friends with that which is going to destroy your human form of life. So that's a problem if you want to maintain your intelligence. So it says, if Krishna says, if you can withdraw your mind from this type of activity, then you can have knowledge. You can have a steady mind. You can have intelligence. You can have all these things. He'll give you steady intelligence if you can withdraw the senses from the sense objects. In fact, I have all these verses I was going to read, but we'll see. All right. Okay, so it says, the lusty, proud person will not be attracted to the process of humble submission to the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Attraction to illicit sex is thus the direct enemy of Krishna consciousness, which depends upon humble submission to the representative of the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that desire for illicit sex is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So that was the 337. And that purport is amazing because Prabhupada points out so many things in that, that our original desire for Krishna consciousness, when it, the love that we have for Krishna, when it comes in contact with this material energy, it gets transformed into this material lust, just like yogurt and tamarind, or milk and tamarind turns something into yogurt. This material energy creates a catalytic condition that changes the chemical composition of your love for Krishna and the lust. And then, of course, with this knowledge, can act like a catalyst to separate the ignorance so you can see everything. But it still doesn't affect your independence. That's another level that's very rarely even spoken about. Your knowledge gives you the ability to see it, but to do it, that's another thing that's very confidential on how to apply that self-realization in one's own life. I mean, we pray for the mercy to be able to maintain, to be able to do it, to manifest those qualities that take place as one actually applies this gradually, step by step. One should fix himself in trance by means of the intelligence. But he has to have cooperation from the higher nature, the soul. All right. Because modern society sanctions unrestricted mixing of men and women, its citizens cannot possibly achieve peace. Rather, the regulation of conflict becomes the basis of social survival. But we also know, if you understood that sentence, that even by rules and regulations, it doesn't work. Where's that verse? Ananta Gobir Vichitosa Dova. 7:5:30, it says, someone can't actually become Krishna consciousness by rules, or by the instructions of their guru, or by his own making up his own mind. Why is that? Oh, if vrata, griya vrata, if he's got in his vow, it's not something you do externally, you make a vow, but internally you have this vow that I'm going to be happy in this life. I'm going to be happy through sense gratification. And everybody, we don't have to take a vow. It's just by nature, the way everybody thinks. But he says, it's very difficult because what are they going to be doing? They're going to be doing this verse because their accepted sense objects is something good and desirable. So in that verse, it's puna, puna, again and again. What are they doing? Chewing the chewed. The juice isn't there. So once the juice is there, then you're angry. I wanted more juice. I'm out of juice. Get some juice. All right. This is the symptom of an ignorant society falsely accepting the material body as the highest good, as described here by the words. Is anybody reading it up there? Oh, no, we're not reading anymore. All right. Vishai Ishu Guna Ad Vas Asat. One who is too affectionate to his own body will inevitably be seized by sex desire. All right. I don't know if they're talking about anybody else. This Bhagavatam is written for us. All right, we're going to read the next verse. If the computer turns back on up here, we're going to do text 20, which is more of the laws of God, the laws of nature, how these things work. You can't take half the hen. You start it, you're going to run through it. So we try with the best we have to work with to understand this and get that willpower, self-control, integrity. We use as many things as we can, good association, to try to do this. This is the war with Maya. This is where it is. And wars, I don't know if anybody, mostly here, probably no one's been in it. It is one intense situation. It's there's heroes, great heroes. You're putting your life on the line. There's striving to be all you can, to be the best you can. It's intense. It's not something I'm going to casually go to war today, you know, if it's nice out and stuff. This is a serious, the human form of life is very serious. It's a matter of life and death. We try to make light of stuff just because maybe America or things like that. Sense gratification just kind of makes you, what do you call that? Just, I think, like a sissy. But I mean, it's just easy and too easygoing. You know, nothing's really important. You know, if you've ever seen like rich people, something, nothing really bothers them so much. You know, this is a very serious situation. And we have to recognize that and try to not take things too casually. See what a serious thing is, because if there's a little inattention, if you're at a war with somebody and you say, "Oh, I think I'll stop for a while," that's the end. You know, the next thing you know, you're captured. I don't want to get into the gruesome nature of that. All right, so we're going to read. Oh, got it up there. Thank you. So maybe we can read this all together. Okay. Someone wants to start saying it. More, I'll say. Okay, so we're explaining here, this is what's going to happen. It's not, well, maybe this will happen. This is a progression that's happening. From quarrel arises intolerable anger. Has anybody ever experienced that? It takes over. You have no control. You're lucky if you can get away without something seriously being damaged. You know, there's, it's destructive as anything. You know, maybe if there's nothing around, you may just hit a wall. Hope you don't hit a stud, you know, in the wall. You'd break it. It's intolerable anger, followed by darkness of ignorance. They kind of almost come the same time. This ignorance quickly overtakes a man's broad intelligence. So you're an animal. I mean, that it's just the way it is, that we're just back in the law of Fang. Or so the purport to that is, the desire for material association arises when one's propensity to deny that everything is God's energy. Wow, there you go. There's we're not that thoughtful about that, but we have to be thoughtful to overcome our ignorance to establish that. Like Keshwa just read this morning from 719, right before the class, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that this is a very important stage. We're more or less guided by good association, by associating with Prabhupada's instructions. He's already seeing Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He's already, that's the preliminary. It goes, that's just the beginning, start, because Sarvakarna Karanam, he's recognizing Krishna, Janmati Sayataha, that Krishna, everything is Krishna, and he has this Parashakti, is it? Everything is Krishna's different potencies. So the human form of life, we're in such a unique situation that we can understand he has the internal potency and the external potency. If you can get that understood, Ashnute, then you can enjoy the full blessings of immortality. You can be not controlled by the external energy. But it requires introspection. It requires to identify these elements in ourself, because by nature, impersonalists, they say it's all one, and we think it's all one, but it's distinctions of the different energies of Krishna that's important. There's knowledge is being able to see. We say Gyananjana, that we have knowledge, and this knowledge is the catalyst to see, the light that turns on ignorance of that it's all Krishna's energy. So then we know what to do. We use it in Krishna's service. So that's the beginning, the middle, and the end. I'm going to try to finish this. Okay. The desire for material association. The desire for material association arises from one's propensity to deny that everything is God's energy. So we have a propensity. it's natural, a propensity to deny that. So there's different names for that propensity. Do you know some of the synonyms that are a little bit more strongly connotative than this one? What's the strong one? What is it? Lust, that's part of the list, but this particular one is a little bit even subtler than that. It's part of the same six. Envy, yeah, matsara. Yeah, there you go. That's what it calls, there you go into the material nature. Okay, so that's the propensity to deny. So falsely imagining material sense objects to be separate from the Supreme Lord, one desires to enjoy them. Such desire gives rise to conflict and quarrel in human society. Such conflict inevitably gives rise to great anger, which makes humans become beings become foolish and destructive. Thus, the actual goal of human life is quickly forgotten. And to translate that into devotee situation, we start making offenses. But we have the rationalization that I got a good reason. If I got a good reason, then I can override my reckoning on how this could be an offense. Because the 435 is every being belongs to Krishna. Everyone is someone's, Krishna's very dear son, daughter, part and parcel. And we're supposed to offer all respects to everyone. All respects. All respects means not to the body. If you take 4.3.22, wonderful verse if you ever have any time to take a look at that. And it's easy to remember, 4.3.22. So you got numbers. So 4.3.22, it says, how we offer obeisances to Krishna in everyone's heart. Because that's part of the sama sarveshu bhuteshu, ready to offer all respects to others. And it says if you can do that, you can kirtanya sada hari. So that sada, it has different translation. Always chant is generally the understanding. But it's also purported by meaning without offenses. How you can chant all the time is without offense. Once you make offense, you're going to stop chanting, or even if you're chanting, is it chanting if you're chanting with offense? That's another discussion on quality of chanting. But we're chanting without offense. So, ready to offer all respects to others, and it's the person there, not an object. Because, see, you can back it up that if you see a person as an object, it's already kind of late in the game. We're not to see people as objects. We're to see a person. So this object and the person and respect, they all go together. When you respect the person, because it's Brahma Bhuta, the intelligence, when you're seeing Brahma Bhuta Prasanama, you're happy, that's nice. Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. All living entities now are seen without the designations. So you're making good headway in devotional service, so you can treat them in such a way, just like we have the wonderful process of book distribution and hope and the Harinam Sankirtan, where you're more or less, without even knowing it, you're doing this. You're seeing all living entities as part and parcels of Krishna, and you want to elevate them so you become very dear to Krishna. It's such an amazing, any way that you start to look more and more carefully at everything that Prabhupada has done, it turns into perfection. And then gradually you get Om Purnamada Purnamada. Everything is actually perfectly arranged by Krishna. And that's a nice vision that we can have in a human form of life. So I'll stop there and thank you all for listening and coming today to the Nityam Bhagavata Seva class. And if there's any questions, comments, reflections, additions, please take the next moment to say them. Oh, thank you. We got one. But it's for the internet. See, because they just get kind of like an echoey sound. They can't really distinguish what's being said or who's saying it. Thank you. Blue.
It was a lovely class. Thank you. One thing that came to mind was in my early days of Krishna consciousness, which is in all of your senior days of Krishna consciousness, one thing noticed that some of the men in the temple, when we would had to talk about service, would look at the floor to look at my eyes. And that came to mind when you were giving this class, because I think probably they were trying not to, you know, see me as some sort of sense object or something, but they wouldn't look at my eyes. And I would sometimes go down like this and actually try to make their eye contact, because I'm not from this culture where you don't make eye contact. So I was thinking, and then later on in Krishna consciousness, when I would... I would try to see them as Krishna's servant. I'm being brutally honest. Like, the way to deal with that, I thought in my mind, was just to see that if I want what's best for that person and what's best for me, and that is to make it out of here and not have to come back, then we see each other as Krishna's servant, and what's best is just to, you know, talk about service and then go our separate ways.
Well,
so there must be some way to deal with that, because sometimes you have to deal with each other. If you have a service and you have to explain something to someone, or you have to interact in Krishna's service, I felt it was uncomfortable to have someone look at the floor and not talk to me. Like, that seemed like a really harsh extreme versus just being able to see each other as Krishna's service.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different things to be said about that. When Lakshman was, when they were looking for Sita, you know, Lakshman said he didn't know what Sita looked like. Do you know why he didn't know what Sita looked like? He never looked her in the face. He always looked down at her feet when he was with her. And so there's many different levels of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes, and we're honest that the eyes sometimes are compared, well, the eyebrows are compared to stringless bows. Have you ever heard that? You know what a bow is, a bow and arrow. So these are, eyes have an incredible potency behind them because they can shoot arrows. They're not exactly their arrows. They're given to them, uploaded from this other character called Cupid. And when he shoots an arrow through the eye and the other person gets targeted with that, then I kind of see it more as a harpoon than an arrow. But the same idea is there. That It can be fatal, you know, and it has a long tether behind it. And I don't know if it's ever happened to anybody else, but it can take years to recover from a wound like that. And we're not really immune to that so much. So sometimes, for sake of self-preservation, that maybe they'll fold their hands while they're looking at the floor to offer the respect, but they're... It's scary how, you know, we don't have much armor, we don't have much protection, especially in the early stages. This material life still sounds good. And if something happens that, let's say you made a lot of money, something else happens, when things go apparently good in that context, we feel happiness. We still think this world is a place that we prefer happiness to distress, unless we read Queen Kunti a lot, where she says that Queen Kunti says, I feel safer in distress than I do in happiness. So Prabhupada would explain it sometimes that we're trying to be disrespectful, but it's a scary place. You know, you can even catch one of these arrows that wasn't even shot at you, it was just going by, and if you just happen to come in line of fire, you get one of these things. And I've analyzed it because that's what I do. It's quite similar to the mirage. The mirage never stops looking like water. Even if you know it's a mirage, it still looks like water, and it still has the almost all the qualities of water. It looks like happiness is there. You get excited. You have endeavor created. You have all these things. The only thing is, it doesn't have the element of satisfaction. So you become frustrated and angry and bewildered. So all these things are there. And at the same time, if you're a little bit too casual, Krishna may take that. That point I didn't emphasize strongly enough is how Krishna's fulfilling the desires of everyone since time immemorial. So once you look, contemplate, as the word that they use in the Bhagavad Gita, here it says that you've accepted as enjoyable, slightly different language, same phenomena, that you're saying to Krishna that I want this. So when you're praying, you know, people pray all the time, you know, for their angel to appear. You know, all the different love songs, my teenage angel, my heaven angel from above. It was said in, the arrangement was made in heaven. You know, so all these environmental influences are there, but we're asking to arrange for this. You know, so it may get arranged, but it can't change the substance from a mirage to water. So it says in the mode of passion, which is what we're talking about, Bhagavad Gita expands it even more and more. It says that happiness in the mode of passion just seems like wonderful in the beginning. But there's a but there. It turns into poison. So it says that a wise man, he can see, it's very nicely put, he can see the cause in the effect, and he can see the effect in the cause, and he takes it as one unit. So he doesn't just see that this seemingly is good, but it's going to turn into poison. So he sees the long-term effect that it's going to be poison. So he says, the sources of misery, because it's temporary. Even though temporary, it starts off nice, apparently nice. But that's what the fish thought the worm on the hook was. He says, oh, this is very enjoyable, but it's starting to get a little pointy here on the side of my jaw. You know, so something else encased in this worm. Not to compare the affectionate glance to a worm on a hook, but okay. Sorry. So I mean, we do try to be as humble, and we pray a lot because we're so teeny, we can get overwhelmed at any moment, and we don't know when we'll be back. You know, if we have good associates, still, it's hard as anything. Sometimes it's the pendulum. You know, we get caught. You know the pendulum? Or now they call it, like, if you really swing, You can be a bipolar where I'm happy, it's work today. Oh, I'm unhappy, it's not working. I'm happy, it's... So, I mean, this world we're meant to become dhira, which is undisturbed by the happiness or the distress. Because the happiness is just, come on, come on. So, is that all right? We did it, 9 to 5. Hare Krishna, glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.